generally, our audio tours are walking tours as you move through a series of locations, but we're varying that this time to tell you a story about the history of San Francisco Bay. Our history, really. Our guide is Ellen Jonk, who is the executive director of the Bay Planning Coalition and a registered professional archaeologist. Here's Ellen.
We're in Eden's Landing, which is the birthplace of the production of salt through solar evaporation in the town of Hayward. John Johnson was a pioneer who carved 20 acres out of the bay and said, I'm going to make salt here. And he started shipping about 10, 12 tons of salt to San Francisco for drying and packaging up, putting on schooners, and it was sent around the world. This was the birthplace. Culture and nature have been linked here for over 150 years. And this is the place where people can learn the story about the absolutely amazing endeavor of the production of salt and its link and alliance with nature. The people who can really tell you that are the ancestors of the Ohlones. This is the Native American group that have a mission in San Jose. There are many descendants of them here today, and they can tell you how their ancestors, way before the Spanish arrived here in the 1500s, 1600s, figured it out. They could see that in the late summer months, there were salt crystals that had evaporated and was just lying on the mudflats. And they figured out how to preserve foods and meats with it, as well as to tan animal hides. This was the heyday of food production and animal tanning hide in the early 16, 1700s.
And Ellen, what role did the Spanish play in our salt story?
Well, the Spanish saw the Native Americans making salt, so to speak. They started the commercial production of salt, so we have the natural production. And they actually started digging ditches, letting salt first evaporate, basically creating what we call receiving ponds, and then digging a number of sloughs and channels that would bring water in from these receiving ponds into evaporation ponds, and then to what we call crystallizing ponds. It was quite a vast enterprise that involved many, many acres through the channeling of water and letting it evaporate during the summer.
Ellen, I'm curious about something. You were saying that the Native Americans were salt makers, the Spanish followed suit, but what about the people who came here for the gold rush in the 1850s? Did they also get involved with salt making?
The early pioneers figured out that salt could be in high demand. The early pioneers could harvest their salt here, ship it to San Francisco for drying. In the early days of salt production here, it was production through evaporation and then harvesting by scooping it up with shovels, really, and stacking it up and putting it on schooners that would arrive from San Francisco right at the landing.
And Ellen, as we sit here on this bench, it's pretty obvious that this location was a very important place in the lives of those early 20 families involved in salt production.
This landscape actually is the stage, the theater, on which the lives were played out of many families and their colleagues. There's a whole social constellation around the production of salt for the last 40 years of the 19th century.
And what about the railroad that was built in, I think, 1878?
The railroad pioneers had lunch with the salt pioneers, and they figured out that they could actually produce more salt and work together in a pretty good deal with the railroad industry to ship salt. This provided the impetus for greater production. As we moved towards 1900, the whole industry started to change in the sense of larger intensification of the production here, larger capitalization, and mechanization. The latter part of the 19th, early part of the 20th century, some of the equipment, the harvesting equipment from the farming industry came into play. Fellow right here, another family, Adolph Oliver's family. As I said, there were about 20 family farms, all in Alameda County. Alameda County was the major center for the production of salt in the entire state of California. And Oliver figured out how to, he said, why should we be shipping salt to San Francisco? That just costs us more to do that. Sure, we could get it there by train, but why don't we try to manufacture salt and dry it and clean it right here? And so Oliver figured out how to do that. He also figured out by using windmills from Holland. He figured out how to use a windmill pump, and there's actually a remnant of this pump on the land right near the landing if we walk a few hundred feet from here. It's called the Archimedes screw. And it actually is so famous that for its use and its utility that it's historical mechanical landmark. And it's a fascinating piece of equipment to think that Archimedes was studying how to lift water from one place to another. So this was another piece of mechanization that contributed to a wider availability of producing salt. Between 1900 and 1930, we started to have a major development in the industrial production of chemicals. And what did they need? Salt. So the chemical industry on the East Coast, where it started up with the DuPonts, they said to the West Coast, we need salt. We need salt. And about four companies then bought out the 20 families that were here. You have to remember, salt is one of the essential ingredients for life. Not only do we need it in our bodies, but it's produced in over 14,000 different kinds of products. Agriculture is what we see a lot of here, but if you pick up any item in your household today, it has sodium chloride in it.
And Ellen, one of the names we see connected to salt is the Leslie Company. Any stories about that company?
Leslie actually is an interesting company because some of their founders, C.E. Whitney, had a partnership with Adolph Schilling and a gentleman by the name of Mr. Dunbarton. Those gentlemen saw the ability to produce salt not only in Alameda County, but in the entire South Bay and down into Santa Clara County and San Mateo County. And so it was those four companies and the founders, and we have the Dunbarton Bridge today, named after Mr. Dunbarton. And they got together and said, we can really help the California economy out. This landscape, the birthplace here, you can travel down the entire Alameda shoreline, all the way down through Alviso and Drawbridge, some of the historic towns over there, over into Palo Alto. And you can really see that this whole landscape here is a metaphor for human settlement of the bay and its relationship to nature. Between 1937 and 1950, it was almost 20,000 acres that were dedicated to salt here in the bay. It was the major industry. Cargill came into the picture in 1978 and purchased the land. And so salt production continued in full tilt right up to 2002, 2003, on the entire 28,000 acres, until Cargill decided to sell a good portion of it, 15,000 acres, to the Fish and Wildlife Service and Department of Fish and Game for the purpose of restoration. Salt production is still going on about 7,000 acres.
Somewhat ironic that this industry provided habitat that now is going back to wetlands. So were it not for the salt industry, if the land had been filled and built upon, we wouldn't have the opportunity to restore these lands.
That's right. The bay has been urbanized. There's no question about that. It is just a fabulous place to live and work. So population continues to expand here, and it did throughout the 20th century, and it will continue to do so. There's been such pressure from finding places for people to live, and where is the best place to put people on flat land? Next to the major transportation routes, and where is the best place to put those? And that's on flat land. Two-thirds of the bay is less than 18 feet deep, and the climate conditions here, plus the shallowness, make it the perfect place for production of salt through solar evaporation. It's unique in the world here. If we peel back the layers, we can really understand our history of the bay. And the thought is this project can provide more public access and knowledge and show people's linkage to their history. And hopefully this will inspire stewardship.
So now you know at least part of the story about salt production in the South Bay. Now, the restoration story that we're really focusing on will continue to evolve as nature and people work to restore tens of thousands of acres around the Bay Area. My thanks to our guide, Ellen Jonk. And this concludes part two of our audio tour at Eden Landing. I'm Jerry Kay.